It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
It's Mike Elamid for Mark Reardon today on 97.1 FM Talk, St. Louis's home for conservative talk. We are joined right now on the phone by Missouri Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe. Lieutenant Governor, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on. We're doing great. We're just a few days away, and we're hitting it hard on the final stretch here.
Well, first of all, I want to say happy anniversary, and I please want you to give my best to Claudia for allowing you to do this interview on your 35th anniversary.
You know, Mike, when we got married 35 years ago, it's my mother's birthday today. That's the reason I picked this date. It took a while for Claudia to figure that out. But
that way you wouldn't forget the date. That was very smart
exactly.
of you.
She gave me four dates. I picked this one immediately, and about 2 weeks later she said, I know why you picked. That's your mother's birthday. And I said, well, of course. I'm no dummy. But why would you have thought 35 years ago we'd be 1 week out from a gubernatorial election? You'd have never dreamt that. You know my story. It's just an amazing life that we're here and at this moment today, and we're very grateful and humbled to be here today.
You know, I was just talking to a lady the other day who her husband is running for state rep out in St. Charles, and I said, God love you for being the wife of a candidate or the husband of a candidate, because you've got to have a special type of patience if you're willing to be that spouse and come along on that journey. And you've been running for governor for, 2 years, it feels like. And she's been at your side pretty much every time that I've seen you out. She's been right there with you.
Well, I'm very lucky to have Claudia. You know, the Sinclair family introduced us on a blind date there in St. Louis at a Cardinal game. So she's definitely, and it's I've got a little bit of a complex because people really like her more than me as we go out and about, but I guess I can't quite blame them. But she's all in. She knows how important this election is to our state and, quite frankly, nationally to our country. Her dad's an entrepreneur, a young business guy that started out with nothing and built a business. She's been with me every step of the way as we've built several of our own businesses, creating jobs, and she understands that that's at risk. We've got to make sure that future generations, our kids and now our grandkids, our oldest daughter just announced she's going to have our first grandbaby. So it's really important that we make sure there's an environment that government stays out of your way and lets Missourians do what they do best, and that's deploy capital, create jobs, and build businesses. That's what I've done all my life, and I want to take that same experience to the state capitol for all Missourians.
You know, I hear the Democrats out there saying this whole democracy is on the ballot, and I would probably say I think the American dream is really on the ballot. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. We have really been fortunate to live the American dream, but quite frankly, you and I both know hundreds, maybe thousands, as I've traveled the state, of Missourians who have a similar story that I have. And that's what we're all about as a country and as a state. And that's what can never be left alone. It has to be, the environment has to be where that dream continue to be had by whether it's a young kid from North St. Louis City like myself from Baden and Walnut Park, or somebody from Lewis County or McDonald County or Worth County in all corners of the state. We got to make sure that Missourians know this is a great place to live and work. We're a conservative Christian state, And we need to make sure we do the best of that so that American dream can continue to stay alive for generations to come.
You know, we were playing a piece of audio earlier from Steve Kornacki, who's the guy who watches all the numbers for NBC. And he was talking about how things have been trending positive Donald Trump and how Donald Trump is continuing to close well. And I heard him when he was doing his speech at Madison Square Garden. And one of the first things he led with was, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And using that Ronald Reagan litmus test. And I think it's pretty safe to say for the majority of Americans, the answer is no, I'm not better off than I was there. So thinking about with a week left to go and a week from tomorrow is when we're going to be wrapping this whole thing up. I'm sure your family is probably going, thank God we got a week left to get this thing done. What is the Mike Kehoe closing message as you go through this last week?
Well, it's that, you know, nationally, I tell people all the time who say, well, we're not sure what to do. I say, tell me what you paid for a 2x4, for milk, for anything from 16 to 20, and what you paid for that from 20 to 24. The decision in my mind is clear. Donald J. Trump is the right choice for our country. And for our state, we've talked about it a bunch of times. I'm going to be the crime governor. We are going to make sure that we don't coddle criminals, that we're going to put them in jail. I want it tougher to be a criminal than it is a cop. And in some of our major metropolitan areas, Mike, we've seen the opposite of that. And we want to make sure that we get crime under control, because if we keep our neighborhoods safe, then we're going to have businesses grow. We're going to have businesses invest. We're going to give opportunities for people to live that American dream. And so that's going to be our economic solution as well. Crime is first, tax policy is second, education reform is third, and then agriculture and growing our number one industry and our family-owned farms across the state has got to be what I'm all about. And I have an experience in all of those areas, as you know, from growing up in North St. Louis City to now in a very rural life, first-generation cattle farmer for 40 years. Raised by a law enforcement family, not only in North St. Louis, but then by Mr. Sinclair, who was the cop's cop and was just part of the law enforcement family. We believe that my experience in all of these kind of different areas is what will make us qualified to get our state continue to go in the right direction and have more opportunities for Missouri families as we move forward.
You know, we started off today by having Kurt Barr on, who's the election authority director out in St. Charles County. And the big thing that we've been seeing is the line to vote at early voting at the election authority actually comes back Highway 79 and out onto Interstate 70. And the line has been continuous from the time voting started until the time voting ends. The line is there. People are excited to get out and cast their vote today. What do you think is really driving that passion to go vote right now?
And man, St. Charles County is rocking it, by the way. I think you've seen the number. They had to come up with an estimate of what they thought was early voting 2 or 3 months ago. They said, well, about 10%. I think today they said we're going to revise that estimate to 25%.
Yeah.
I've seen that across the state. Since early voting opened, I've been to Kansas City, to Springfield, to Taney County, to Southeast Missouri, certainly Central Missouri. We're hearing the same story everywhere we go, that people are excited. They're in the courthouses, they're in their voting precincts that they can go early vote at. There's lines. There's not, you know, a bunch of people upset because they're waiting or whatever. They're enthused. They're around the block because they're enthused. They know that our future is on the ballot this time. Our wide open borders that we have with immigration, you know, just there's some insane things going on in this country that we need to make sure we protect with our freedoms. And I'm seeing these type of excitement levels from one end of the state to the other on the early voting, and I couldn't be happier.
What do you think is going to be the best way to drive people to the polls? I mean, we've seen this, and I think the early voting, you have a bunch of people that are excited, like we've talked about. Do you think that's going to continue on Election Day? Like, do you think you're going to see that excitement of people getting out there to the polls?
I really do, because you and I have been around elections several times in our life. And what do we hear every 4 years, Mike? We hear, this is the most important election of your life. And I think each time we got to one of those 4-year presidential elections, there was triggering events that definitely made that true. But think about now. Think about the wide open borders. Think about inflation. Think about crime. Think about the things that that the current administration in D.C. has just let go spiraling out of control, and what the future might look like if we don't get that in control. In Missouri alone, a number one killer of 18 to 44-year-olds is fentanyl. That's all coming across from the southern border. It's made in China. It's deadly, and it's killing Missourians. And so these policies are affecting Missouri as much as anywhere else. And I maintain the states are the last right of defense. You have to have strong governors in these states to protect yourselves from sometimes federal overreach. And in case we don't have the right change in administration in D.C., Missouri needs to make sure that we have somebody that understands what common sense leadership is all about.
You know, one of the things that I've found surprising is the lack of signs that I have seen out and about for other statewide races. I was telling Sue and Ethan, I was just back in Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, this weekend for my 40th high school reunion. And as I was driving down Interstate 44, I saw Mike Kehoe everywhere. Your signs were all over the place. But I was amazed to see, I didn't see a lot of other political signs, and the landscape looks kind of harsh. How do you think the other statewide races are going to go for Attorney General and Secretary of State and the other offices that we have up?
We have some great candidates on our statewide. We have, you know, David Wassinger is Lieutenant Governor, good St. Louis guy. He and Colleen, his wife, are out there working hard. Denny Hoskins, he and his wife, Michelle, are out there working hard for Secretary of State. Andrew Bailey, who's just a rock star. I hope that I'm successful, because if I am, I'd love to have Andrew Bailey as my attorney. Who wouldn't want an Army tank commander that served under General McMaster as their attorney?
There you go.
Vivek Malik, you want to hear a story that's the right way of coming into this country, working hard and succeeding? Look at Vivek Malik's story. It's amazing. And so we've got some great folks out there. Josh Hawley's out there working hard. I think he'll prevail, and I'm very optimistic about what Missourians will do for our future next Tuesday and what they are doing now by early voting. It's exciting, and you can feel the excitement in the air. I had lunch with Farmer Senator Roy Blunt today, and we talked about this, and the amount of energy that we have in volunteers from one end of the state to the other, they're putting those signs up, Mike, on their own. It's just amazing the friendships and relationships we built, and how many people really understand what's at stake in this election. And I really hope that we continue to get people out in early vote, and then we just swamp the polls on November 5th and go from the top of the ballot down and vote Republican.
So what's your plan for this last week? What are you doing to close the week out? Your travel plans around the state?
I agreed to make my wife dinner for our wedding anniversary, but she's actually cooking as we speak. So I got off of that one, because the best thing I know how to make are fried eggs, and she wasn't excited about that. But tomorrow, to answer your question, we're in St. Louis, several meetings up there, several meetings there on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll be back in Jefferson City. Friday, we're in Springfield, Neosho, and Joplin. Saturday, we're in Pineville and McDonald County. Then Mount Vernon in Lawrence County, and then Waynesville and Pulaski County. And then we're doing a fly around, and we'll get more information out for people to see that, to do rallies at airports in Cape Girardeau, Springfield, Kansas City, and Cassville, Missouri, down in the southwest corner on Monday, the day before the election. So I think Roy asked me today, how many more events do you have? I said, I think it's 22.
Wow.
And if we hit all of those, and if we get all of those done, Mike, we will have done, I remember we did 235 in 10 weeks leading up to the primary. Between the primary and the general, we'll have done another almost 8,000 miles, and I think 243 events. So we're going to try to set a new record here.
Well, it feels like you have, and I'm sure the bus is almost covered with signatures at this point.
Oh, it's covered from one end to the other. We were in Kirksville the other day, and a nice family, super nice family. I'm talking to mom and dad. The kids were on the driver's side of the bus, and man, do they color it. They put their names on there bigger than Dallas, and it was a lot of fun. The parents, of course, were very embarrassed. I'm like, hey, it's good. We love it. We love young people getting involved in this. So we've had a lot of fun with that, and it's been a good sign of hope for people to understand that there's brighter days ahead of us, and voting Republican and this time around in Missouri is really going to continue to lead us in a great direction.
Well, this is probably going to be the last time that I'm going to have the opportunity to talk to you on the radio before election night. So I wish you all the best, and I really appreciate you always making time for us at 97.1. And please give my best to Claudia, and happy anniversary to you.
I will. 97.1's been great to me. So is Mark. We're going to try to be on with Mark the day after the election. I told Fred he might not want me if we don't win, but hopefully we'll be talking to you guys the day after in that station. So thank you for your friendship, and thanks, St. Louis. You've been great to me. I'm your homeboy, and I just can't tell you how humble it is to represent St. Louis in the statewide election.
Well, safe travels, and we'll talk to you election night.
Thank you, buddy.
That is Lieutenant Governor Mike Keough, the Republican nominee to be the governor of the state of Missouri. It's just nice when people are willing to make the time.
Yes.
And I swear to you, being the wife of a candidate, there is a special place in heaven for you that you're willing to put up with all that, because so many people are pulling on your spouse's time.
Yeah.
And you've got to be willing to go along with that and be willing to share. And Claudia has been fantastic at doing that. Someone else who's done that for years and years is Steve Ellman's wife, Jean, who's put up with that since he's been running for the state rep. And we are going to talk to County Executive Steve Ellman on the other side. It's Mark Reardon Show. My name is Mike Elaman for Mark today on St. Louis's Home for Conservative Talk, 97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis's Home for Conservative Talk on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike Elaman for Mark Reardon today. Mark will be back tomorrow. Well rested, I assume. After being off on Friday and being off today. No, you don't
think
so? Major
road trip. He drove all the way down to Houston.
Oh, he drove?
To see his grandson, who is totally adorable.
I didn't know he drove.
Yeah.
I thought he flew.
No. And then he drove back today.
Oh.
Well, maybe he'll get rest
tonight. So hopefully
tonight.
He is well rested.
Yeah, right?
I think it's a long sleep.
Well, I appreciate the fact that I get to hang out when Mark is gone. I'm sorry that I missed Friday, but I'm glad to be here today. And I'm glad to get to talk to St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, who's on the phone with us. Steve, how are you?
Good, Mike. Sue, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks, Steve.
Good.
Are you having
hey, you didn't tell me, Mike, that I had to follow Mike Keough. That's a tough act to follow.
Boy, that is. I feel for you.
Well, I'll do the best I can, but hope folks don't expect too much.
Well, the good news is you didn't have to travel the state in a bus this year. So,
No kidding.
I can't imagine, and hats off, as I've said many times, to everyone who ran for office this year. Whether you won or whether you didn't, hats off to everybody who threw their hat in the ring this year. Steve, I can't remember a tougher time for anybody to run for elected office than the past year that we've been through. Can you?
No, I can't. And I hope it'll get better, but you never know. It could get worse.
Well, I hope it doesn't get any worse. Lord, I don't know what we do.
I bet you do hope it doesn't get any worse.
If it gets any worse, I don't know that people are going to run anymore. That may just end up being...
Well, we've been talking about that, Mike, for a long time. I mean, you know, it's as you know, it's tough sitting there listening to all the complaints, some of which you can do absolutely nothing about. And at some point, you know, people like yourself who... You know, have a good job and a great family and a beautiful wife, or is going to say, why should I sit on a county council and listen to all this complaining from both sides? I don't need this. So what you'll end up with is the people who are out in the audience complaining now. They'll be the ones on the dais. And there's some good ones out there complaining, but there's a lot of others that I'm not looking forward to having to deal with.
You know, and it goes all the way up and down the board, right? Even the folks who are kind enough and brave enough to put their name on the ballot to run for school district, they run into a ton of it. I mean, school district has been really tough.
Oh, yeah. Those folks are volunteers.
Yeah,
and
they're doing
yeoman's
work.
For a job like that?
It's tough.
It's like, you know, when you go in the service.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
And your mom tells you never volunteer, right?
Exactly. It's like I didn't know I took a step forward. I think everybody else took a step back and they didn't tell me. And I ended up as the guy out front.
You're right.
That's how I think some of those folks are going to end up. Well, as you're looking at these elections moving forward this year, I mean, you're a guy who has been through all of it. I mean, you've been in the state legislature, in the House and in the Senate. You've been an associate judge, a circuit judge. Now you've been a county executive for 18 years. As you look at the races that we have this year, how are you kind of handicapping this? Let's start with the presidential race. How are you looking at Donald Trump, Kamala Harris, as we wrap up here?
Oh, I think Donald Trump's going to win easily.
You think it's going to be a runaway in terms of?
No, I don't think it's going to be a runaway, but I don't think it's going to be as close as some people think it might.
Do you think he's going to win the popular vote?
No.
I don't think so either. But
no. He has not won the popular vote either of the last two times. But it's not, as you know, it's not about the popular vote.
Right. It's all about
the electoral vote. About the electoral college. And if you want to, right now the electoral college works to the benefit of the Republican Party. If the state of Texas ever goes from red to blue, we'll have Republicans concerned about the Electoral College. you'll take, what, 40 votes or so and just flip them from one side to the other based on, you know, maybe a couple thousand, 10,000, 100,000 votes. So it's not the perfect system, but it's the one the Founding Fathers gave us. And right now, I think it's a good one.
So when you look at the Senate, do you think that the Republicans are going to get the majority there?
I do. Yeah, they're, you know, that they've been saying that for a long time. We have fewer seats to defend, and you know, there's some we know we're going to flip, and several others we've got a great opportunity to.
I think most bets that I've seen so far, they're saying they feel good about 51, and on the high end, they could get 54, possibly 55. Which they say is very important, because if you get that pad, then that allows people like Lisa Murkowski to cast her crazy Ivan vote that she'll do from time to time, where she doesn't vote with the majority, and it gives you the opportunity to lose her or lose Susan Collins, people like that who don't always vote with the party, and you can still get legislation passed. So I agree with you. I feel pretty good about the Senate. The House, on the other hand, I don't know that I feel as good about that.
Well, it's harder for Dick, but I'm interested in your crazy Ivan metaphor. Are you talking about crazy Ivans in Red October?
I am. Every now and then, you pull one of those to where, hey, I wasn't expecting that one to turn, but
all of a sudden you
get this this turnabout that you didn't see coming.
Now that makes sense.
There you go. I have weird references. You should know that after all these years.
I do.
I think, though, what Donald Trump has been doing, where you've seen him campaigning out in California, and you've seen him, this Madison Square Garden event that he just did in New York, what a huge crowd to show up for a Republican in a very blue place. And I think that speaks to how unhappy people are. But I think it also shows that Trump is out there trying to win the House, because he's going to states where he doesn't expect to win the state, obviously, in New York or California. But he does want to try and help turn the House and keep the House as red as it can possibly be.
Well, you know, that's funny, because I was thinking about that last night. Why was Trump in New York? You know, I don't care what he does. He's not going to win New York. But yeah, by being there, he may help some people down the ticket.
There are some very competitive
seats.
And
if he's got time to do that, that's great, because that means his polling shows he's doing better than some of the public polls that are out there.
Well, and I saw people talking about the fact that when you go to Southern California and when you go to New York City, one of the things that you're going to find is huge media markets. So I think Trump got more free publicity by doing that rally in Madison Square Garden than he could get in pretty much anywhere else that he could be. And that's going to help him in a lot of these swing states where things are going to be very, very competitive. And he's going to need every vote he can get there. But we were listening to Steve Kornacki earlier from NBC, who's talking about things are trending Trump's way as we get to the end of this. Do you think, or how much do you think, a Trump win in a place like Missouri is going to help a Josh Hawley or a Mike Kehoe put things across the finish line?
Well, I think that how should I say this? I think the Missouri Republicans could win without Trump, but it's great to have him on our side. I think the state party is strong and has been now for the last 20 years. I don't see any diminution in Republican strength, even though Post-Dispatch this morning had a story that says they think they can win two seats in St. Charles County. And I remember 20 years ago when they actually had a seat in St. Charles County.
Well, I know
you were back in junior high then, Mike. You wouldn't remember.
I was still back in Arkansas before I had made it here by then, probably. But it's amazing how different things have gone in Missouri just over the last decade. I mean, it wasn't that long ago Jay Nixon was our governor, and pretty much every statewide office except for one was Democrat. And then here we sit. I mean, that was 2016. Nixon was still our governor, and
You know, Mike, when I went to Jeff City in 1989, January 89, in the legislature, I was shocked. I was in the House, and there were probably 20 Democrats in the House that were at least as conservative as I was, and maybe even more conservative. They were called, you know, conservative Democrats, and they were from the Boot Hill, and some of them were from the burnt district along the Kansas border, and they still had people had hard feelings about the Republicans during the Civil War, and it was crazy. I mean, the fact is Missouri didn't become more conservative. It just came became more Republican, and finally people quit voting for those conservative Democrats about 20 years ago and started voting for Republican conservatives, and of course we've had control of the legislature ever since.
Well, I think you've seen an awful lot of change since Donald Trump came into office, and you've seen the parties really get flipped on their head. I mean, it used to be a union worker was a Democrat, and you've seen now most of the union guys are all voting Republican, and Trump had a lot to do with flipping that.
Well, I think that's true, and I always felt like, you know, we were more the blue-collar Republicans in St. Charles County. And of course, you know, when I was in the Senate and we were trying to get control of the majority, and we relied upon the Country Club Republicans in St. Louis County to provide the money, and us Republicans out here in St. Charles County, we provided the votes, and it was kind of a nice coalition, you know, there's still some Country Club Republicans around, but it's a much more populist Republican Party, and it's probably more like what the party's been like in St. Charles County since I got involved 30 years ago.
So talking to St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, what are you going to be looking for on election night? What are going to be the things that are on your radar that you're going to keep an eye on and say, you know, if this happens, I think we're going to have a really good night?
Well, I'm interested in most of the constitutional amendments that are on the ballot, and you know, I'm very concerned about three. Obviously, I think everybody is.
Amendment three.
The Amendment three. Yeah, the one dealing with abortion, and it's. I know you've noticed. You know, the Post-Dispatch bending over backwards saying, listen, this isn't about gender identity disorders. This isn't about using restrooms and so forth and so on. And they say that that's not the intent, and they say no reasonable interpretation would come to that conclusion by a judge. But you know what? You can't rely upon reasonable interpretations by judges anymore. 5 years before I went to Jefferson City, there was something called the Equal Rights Amendment. And yes, remember, it was before the Missouri legislature, and they needed one more state to approve it. You had Phyllis Schlafly over in Illinois, over in Alton. You know, she was complaining about it. One of the things she was complaining about it was if we did that, you know, women could no longer have their own bathroom. And liberals on the left, they thought that was hilarious that she would even suggest that. But of course, you know what's happened since then. And when they started talking about bringing the ERA back last year, the that Illinois family group that she used to be part of, you know, said one of the reasons to vote against it back in 2014 was that it would prohibit men and women suffering from gender identity disorders from using restrooms. It would have, it would invalidate any law that that dealt with that. And again, probably back in 2014, there might have even been some people that were concerned about that. But in 1919, there's a case involving Blue Springs School District where a female-to-male transgender student brought suit against the school district, alleging she had the right to go into whatever restroom she wanted to and whatever locker room she wanted to. And she went before the Missouri Supreme Court on the case, and the Missouri Supreme Court, on a 4-2 decision, decided that Blue Springs was wrong. The Blue Springs School District had to let the person go into any locker room they wanted to, and they cited the Missouri Human Rights Act. Now, the real irony of that is back in 1994, when I was in the Senate, that's the last time we reapproved the Human Rights Act, and I voted for it, and I voted for the section that said no discrimination based on sex. And I guarantee you, when I voted for that section, I had no thought that somebody would use that someday, like the Supreme Court did in 2019, to say that it's discrimination by sex to keep people in the right restroom. So, and I would go out on a limb and say there wasn't anybody else in the legislature felt that way either. My point is, you can't rely upon a judge 5 or 10 or 20 years from now to know exactly what the intent was. So if it's not written correctly, you can come to some very strange results. And that's what's happened here, in 2019.
Well, Steve, where are you going to be watching election returns next Tuesday?
I'm going to be in front of my TV, and I'll be probably going back and forth between the election returns and an NBA basketball game.
Oh, there you go. Well,
is Sue still there?
I am.
Hey, Sue, what's that? What is that? Sue and the Lou?
Oh, yeah. History of the Lou with Sue.
History of the Lou with Sue. I've heard that 2 or 3 times. I really enjoy it.
Well, thanks for saying so, Steve. I appreciate that.
Keep up the good work. Was it usually on Sunday?
Yeah, it's on Sunday on this station at 6 a.m. It'll eventually come back at 6 p.m. Okay. And it's on Camel X at 1 on Saturday.
Okay. Well, I'm an old high school history teacher, so I really enjoy it.
Well, good. Thanks for promoting that. I appreciate that, Steve. That's nice of you.
You know, he's written a couple of history books.
Yeah, is that right?
He has. And he's even done a 3-hour documentary in the history of the Civil War in St. Charles County.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and Feller, who narrated it.
That would be Mike Elam. Because Mike Elam fit the budget. That's exactly how that worked. He was the best you could find for the price.
I get it. Totally get it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Steve, I will see you at a county council meeting here in about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, we've got a executive session before, so
I guess I better see you in an hour then.
You'll see me a little earlier. Yeah.
There you go. That is Steve Elman.
Thanks for everything you do, Sue. It's nice talking to you.
Nice to talk to you, Steve.
We appreciate it, Steve. County Executive Steve Elman from St. Charles County. We are going to be back with the audio cut of the day and wrap up the big award-winning Mark Reardon Show. Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike Elam sitting in for Mark today. It's always a good time when I get to sit in here. I hope it's a good time for you. It's a good time for me. Ethan and I have a good time. And Sue's been great. It's always nice to see Sue. By the way, just wanted to give along quick condolences to the Farmer family. Jen passed away after a long bout with breast cancer. And she was on Y98 for a really long time. Ryan used to work here for the radio group way back when. Fantastic family. And just a a wonderful person. There is sometimes you run across people that they just make the world a better place. And she was definitely one of those people. And she is going to be missed by so many people. They've got visitation that's going on until 7 o'clock tonight. So Jen will miss you, and the best to her and her family. Appreciate the opportunity when you get to come in and hang out. And I know we talk a lot about the politics and the things get really nasty. If you can just make sure that all your friends are going to get out to vote, that's really the important thing that we have here. It's so important that everybody takes the opportunity to get out there. We get so nasty with our politics, and you start calling people everything. You know it's bad on the Democrat side when their default is Hitler, and they keep going on about the whole Hitler thing. I don't know how Hitler got watered down to a political person compared to everything. You kill over 6 million people. That puts you at a different level than somebody who says something you don't like in politics. And to say something like that just completely demeans history of the horrible things that a monster like Hitler was. But just to talk about the Madison Square Garden stuff, the Dems really took that to a whole new level. And we put together a collage of things here, a montage that we're going to call our audio cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Of trying to divide our country.
There's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s at Madison Square Garden.
This was a hate rally. These are mini January 6 rallies.
How did we get here? Where a stadium of people come to hate.
Yesterday's Trump rally from hell.
Vile, racist, sexist insults dominated Donald Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden.
It's funny when you see, you know, the party that is supposed to be the party of joy. Do you remember that? That was her thing. She was the party of joy, and that's where Kamala Harris was going to be. I saw something the other day on a YouTube clip of a guy who went on a Republican side of a protest and a Democrat side of a protest, dressed up like a shirt in the other one. The Democrats were super mean, and the Republicans were like, hey, man, you really ought to be over there, but we love you anyway. Thanks for standing up for your beliefs. That's just where we are, folks. The party of hate is definitely on one side, and it's not the Republican side. I hope you have a fantastic week. Thanks for letting me be a part of your Monday on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.